Okay, everybody, welcome into another episode. This is the Good Bit Podcast, and we are delighted to have you with us one more again here on the Good Bit. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you very much for downloading and tuning in this week for an old school edition of the Good Bit Podcast. As today we're not focusing on one in particular film. We are chatting about all sorts of things that have been going on in our lives the past little while. As today I have a lovely catch up with my original co-host of the Good Bit Podcast and one of my best friends, Mr. Aaron Dockard, who has been a busy bee in terms of the acting world and appearing in some TV shows and some films across Netflix and Disney and things of that nature over the past little while. So every so often we have, you know, say it's a new beginning or a new era, a fresh start, a new year, whatever it is, new season of the, you know, the podcast. We always try to get some form of episode where it's just myself and Aaron, myself and Mr. Aaron Dockard. We started this podcast back in 2016 together when we were just wee boys, but we do like to try and have some form of like movie, TV, catch up when it's just myself and Aaron, just like it was when we started the podcast back in 2016, all those years ago. So going to be a pleasure catching up with Aaron. I had the pleasure of seeing him perform for the first time in years, actually, back last year, the summer of 2023 at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, as he played Tennessee Williams. So we're going to chat about that as well. And as I say, he's been popping up in some streaming shows recently too. So we're going to have a lovely catch up. Hopefully you enjoy. It's a silly one as always when it's just the two of us. So looking forward to diving into that episode. In terms of current events and you know, in the cinema and the film world, obviously the Oscar nominations for 2024 have been released, but I do have a feeling that I'm probably going to do some form of like preview predictions video or episode, I should say, predictions podcast. That'd be a good warm-up, predictions podcast, for the Oscars 2024 at some point closer to March, when, you know, the Oscar ceremony is going to happen. So stay tuned for that. But from first glance, I see that Oppenheimer has got 13, I think, nominations. The most nominations this year goes to Oppenheimer. And I believe that Oppenheimer will probably win Best Picture. Not that I think it was the Best Picture, but what does it matter what I think? But just in terms of the way it goes, you know, it's you get a few films that kind of went under the radar and they never win, but it's always good to get highlighted. And then you've got the big commercial films that always get highlighted as well. But it seems like Oppenheimer is a good mix between, yes, a big blockbuster, but also great acting, great story, great film. Big names in the cast, Christopher Nolan, so all this sort of stuff. So the stars are kind of aligning for Oppenheimer to win Best Picture. I believe that's going to happen. And in terms of the other ones, I'm really not sure. In terms of like Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director, unless he wins Best Director as well, he being Christopher Nolan. But yeah, we'll see. And I'm still to see some of the films that have been nominated and some of the performances. So once I get them all watched, I'm going to see The Zone of Interest at the Glasgow Film Theatre next week, I believe. So that's one of the ones that I'd never heard of, and getting the chance to see that in the cinema is going to be good. So I'll report back on all those. And then closer to the ceremony, I believe it's the second weekend in March, I believe, we can chat about, you know, what we think the winners are going to be once we've kind of rounded down and seen a bit more of the films that are on offer this year. But until then, please enjoy this episode. It is the Good Bit Podcast, a reunion of the original duo, the original co-hosts of the Good Bit Podcast. Myself, Aaron Dockard, just catching up and shooting the breeze, baby. Hope you enjoy. I just think, well, if I'm honest, I started the call today for this episode, and Aaron Dockard, my co-host here, just like old times, was wearing his shades, and I felt a little bit left out. Aaron, where did you get your shades?
I got them from Specsavers. They are prescription shades, and I put them on because I want to advocate for everyone to get prescription shades. And you especially, you wear your glasses everywhere.
I wear my glasses most places, yeah, if not all.
So when I'm seeing you on holiday wearing those shades, so you're just not seeing anything?
Right now I can't see a thing because we're both wearing them.
But you put your contacts in?
Yes, not right now, but if you've seen me in pictures, of course I've got my contacts in. I'm not just walking about not being able to...
You ever listen to Jeff Lynne?
No.
Or see, certain people, certain celebs have just like become synonymous with wearing shades inside. Do you want to become one of them?
I don't know if it's my thing, if I'm honest. You could do it, though. I reckon you love a shade.
Outside, but as soon as you're inside, in a public place. See, you know that's the problem. Prescription shades. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
Oh, you forgot your thingy.
It doesn't matter. I'm put on it.
Prescription shades. You go out and then you go into a shop.
Mm.
And if you take your shades off, you now can't see because of the prescription. So you have to keep them on.
That's
and then
true.
People think, he's a prick.
Yeah. He's one of them. He's one of them that wears shades indoors. Who are some of the celebrities that wear shades indoors?
Bono,
yeah, good shout, yeah.
Jeff Lynn.
Liam Gallagher.
Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, is he one of them? Is he a shades indoors kind of guy?
Probably.
Timothy
probably Kylie
shades
Jenner.
Indoors. Say it again.
Kylie Jenner.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr.
Yes, tinted.
Yes. That, see these shades here? I like them because I went, they're a bit like RDJ.
Yeah. Little tint on them.
Yeah. Speaking of RDJ, you saw Oppenheimer this year.
Yep.
What did you think?
Boring. Next.
That's not true at all.
Yeah, it is. Did we not talk about this?
We kind of spoke about it the other day. I mean, everybody listening, me and Aaron actually had lunch the other day and it was lovely, but you know the way I'm just like podcast. It was nice to just go for a lunch.
When you've got the shades on, I think my instinct is just hot takes straight off the bat, no explanation.
Yeah.
So in the shades, you know, ask me what I thought of Oppenheimer now.
Shades on the table. What did you think of Oppenheimer?
I was a bit disappointed because I was ready to absolutely adore it. But
it is quite an Aaron film, I have to say.
Is it? I'm not huge Christopher Nolan.
Mm.
Not huge. I think I just think his films are spectacular, but no. Sometimes I'm like, does he understand human emotion? it's just I don't feel anything.
Okay.
I just didn't feel anything, and I thought the tone was weird. The music throughout was weird. You can't hear me.
I can. Yeah, I'm just trying some things out.
Trying things out. You do this. You do this. I'm off on an answer, and you're fucking.
Iona said the same thing. Iona, we were recording. It was the first time.
Ask me again what I thought of Oppenheimer.
No, I want you to. I'm trying to disguise the fact I'm doing techie stuff by you talking, but I did it last time to Iona and she's like, "You distracted me," and I was like, "What does
matter?" That's like one of the clips you put on Instagram. I start talking and you're looking at the cameras.
That's right. I had an argument on the good bit. but yeah, no. So you don't think Christopher Nolan understands human emotion? However, you've seen Interstellar.
Yeah, I mean that's a hot take. He does understand human emotion. I don't know.
That's a hot take.
I didn't understand. I didn't quite get the Oppenheimer hype. I thought it was. I didn't care. It's been so long. What did I think? I didn't care about the. But Christopher Nolan, love you. Hire me.
Because we know you're listening. Shout out.
Yeah, you're a genius.
I know he is. He is actually, and I did see.
Barb.
I did see like a thing that he did with Robert Downey Jr. It was like a kind of getting to know you question and answer thing, or one of those ones that was like answering the internet's most asked questions or whatever. And I was like, I don't actually think I've really watched many interviews and know much about Christopher Nolan as a person. I'm judging him, my opinion of him based on his films, and they're such a head kind of mess. Then sometimes it's a bit like, you know, what type of person are you? Are you someone that wears shades indoors?
No, I bet he'd never done that. Not Chris Nolan.
Not even once. No way.
That's a great. This is the theme of this episode, or a little sub theme. If we talk about anyone famous, we should say, first of all, before we talk about them, do they wear shades indoors?
That's a great way to look at it. I think I'm going to judge anybody on that, to be honest with you, because it does tell you a lot about the person.
Tells you a lot. And, you know, sometimes it could be, he's a prick. But sometimes it could just be, you know, they're a nice person, but they're just very, very confident. And they're actually really nice. But they do wear shades indoors.
You have to kind of make that caveat. Like, they are very nice. However, they would wear shades indoors. I've recently started judging people that I know in terms of my closeness to them and how good of a friend I would consider them, if they're getting an invite to my wedding. That's something I was thinking about. Because you meet so many people in your life, right, and you befriend people, especially if you're like, it's basically actors that go from show to show, cast to cast, that sort of thing. You meet lots of people, you meet lots of acquaintances, but how many of them are real friends, you know?
Yeah. Do you do it by, I'm going to invite them to the ceremony, and I'll invite them to the reception?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
There's going to be some that don't get an invite either, but there's going to be some that is going to witness me getting married, and then also who people who are there just to like have a party, which and is a great thing too. I've been to weddings before where I've just been to the party and had a great time and still said, I've been to that guy's wedding. However, I've never actually been to a ceremony. So I'm actually not close friends to anybody in terms of their popularity. I don't know. Not that I'm thinking about getting married anytime soon, but it's just something that you think about. You know what I mean? Like, you're really close to someone for a period of time, and then maybe you don't see them for about a couple of years or whatever. So maybe they were invited to your wedding ceremony at one point, but now...
No, they're not.
Someone else who's in your life that moment, you know, might get the priority just because they're relevant. But you do have those people, and I would consider yourself, you know, a really good friend of mine, whereas I don't see you for a while, and then we'll just catch up and...
I drop off the list, maybe.
You might drop off the list. No, but that's what I was going to say. I don't think you do drop off the list. You know, you're one of those people that you just pick back up, you know. So I would say you're going to be someone that's going to be at my wedding.
Am I at the ceremony?
Ceremony or party? I reckon you're probably ceremony.
Really?
Well, right now. You know
right
what I mean?
Now, but things could change.
I don't know what 2024 holds.
No, we don't.
Will it hold a wedding? Will it hold a backstab? That's what I want to know.
You think I'm going to backstab?
If you do, you stab in the back and you become a dirty Judas. You're not going to be at my wedding.
Yeah, I might do that.
Well, please don't.
I'll try not to. You might stab me in the back.
Listen, you can say he's a backstabber, but he doesn't wear shades indoors.
You know, does he wear shades at his own wedding? Can you imagine that?
Does it go with the outfit? Does it go with the...
Dude.
I do. What if the minister is the one wearing the shades? That's good. You're in for a day.
I mean, are you religious? Could I be the minister? And I'll wear shades?
You think you get was it ordained?
No, because it could be a humanist red wedding.
Okay,
isn't that where it's just no religion?
I don't know. Anyway, moving on from really serious topics. Basically, what I wanted to speak to you about on record.
That winter time. Get a runny nose.
That was a really smooth blow of the nose there. Do that again.
No, it's just a little. I'm quite good at, I blow it so much that I get this redness here.
The red nose, Rudolph.
Yeah, I'm Rudolph this year. Off you go. You've got your agenda.
Off you go. Right, it's like you just auditioned me,
and here we go. Podcast host.
And here we go. Well, what I was going to say is a time you don't really need to blow your nose. That's actually a bad segue because you do in the summertime. But I actually had the pleasure of seeing you perform this year. I visited you quite a few times this year, more so back in your new native home of London. But when you were back up visiting me here, well, also folks, we're both in Scotland right now and we're actually not together, which is not great. We should be doing this in person, but we live and we learn.
ScotRail, it's just not great, is it?
It's not really reliable, which is the problem. But you got home safe the other day, didn't you? Remember you thought that Edinburgh or Perth just was London and there's no buses after a certain time?
Oh, yeah. Well, that happened again the day after I saw you.
Oh, because you went to Edinburgh, didn't you?
I went to Edinburgh again.
Yeah.
And I was on a train and when I was walking to get on the train, I saw there was all a bit of commotion at the back of the carriage and some drunk guy had decked it and just couldn't get up and he was bleeding from his face and he was just having a bit of a nightmare and there was just loads of people gathered around him. I sort of thought that and went, oh dear. And I went on and got on the train and it was waiting there for ages past the time it's supposed to leave, and then there was an announcement saying this train it's now been cancelled. Please get the next one, which was in like 20 minutes. And was going to get me home at 1 in the morning to Perth Station. And then I've got to get to Scone. And it was just a nightmare. And then after that, and when I walked off the train, I realised there was still commotion. So it was him. It was all.
He was the delay. That's not great, is it?
He was the cancellation. Yeah, but you did come see me in a play, and I thank you for it. I appreciate the support very much so.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to talk about your time this year at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, because is this the first time you did the Fringe?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was your experience? And tell everybody about the play and how the reception was and all that good stuff.
Well, it was great. I actually have a poster here.
How the reception of the play was, not the wedding reception.
There was no wedding reception, but here's the poster.
Yeah.
It was called Tennessee. Is this probably backwards? But whatever.
No, it actually isn't backwards.
Oh, it's called Tennessee Rose, and that's me. That's not me, but that's kind of what I was doing. I was playing Tennessee Williams.
That's your character.
I was huffing and chuffing away on cigs and drinking whiskey. And this is my sister, Tennessee Williams' sister, Rose, who had a frontal lobotomy, one of the first frontal lobotomies, which was a terrible procedure. And if you've seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you'll know what that is. And
actually, I haven't seen it.
Have you not?
No.
Here's the back of the thing. Here is the cast. Here is Anne Kidd, who played Rose, a wonderful actor and wonderful person. Fabulous to work with. Big up Anne. I hope she listens. There's me. I was fairly competent in this play. Only had a few absolute disasters. Here's Helen Katamba, absolutely fabulous actress as well. She played the nurse, and she played our mother.
Yes.
Played two very contrasting characters, very fabulously. I mean, these are two seasoned pros, absolutely fantastic actors. I felt like a bit of a fish out of water at the start of rehearsals because I was like, I don't know, but they were fantastic. They were fantastic to work with. The director was fantastic. It was all fantastic. It was a fantastic time, and I'm glad you saw it. It might be coming back, and if it does, I'd love to promote it.
Absolutely.
On this pod, maybe we could do a pod. Maybe we could do some sort of thing with it. We could like pod from the stage.
I like that, and we could get the cast on. Absolutely, good idea.
Yeah,
let's do that.
That would be brilliant because they would love that.
Yeah.
We'd lose that.
I would like to buy a hamburger.
Yeah. So it was great. It was a play. It's just an hour-long play. We did it every day. And it was... I had a blast. I had a blast in Edinburgh. I had a blast at the Fringe. I had a blast doing it. I love being an actor. I loved it.
Proper Fringe run. Like playing every single day, same theatre, different crowds, quite good capacity too. It was like in a small space, but as far as I was aware, it was pretty popular and quite for a Fringe show, you know, which is quite hard to get people to come see out of the a million shows, you know what I mean, that are going to be there. It always seemed to be quite positively received and stuff. Very, very busy.
Do you know, it was positively received. I think it's difficult to gauge when you're in something how positively people feel about it, because of course everyone tells you it's fantastic and you're brilliant. So you're kind of just, I'm always a bit like, I don't really know. I don't know, because no one's going to see, like, you know, it was fine. There's an issue with that. And you were a bit weak when you played this character, you know, no one.
Yeah, but would you appreciate that if someone was like, I thought the play was fine, I thought the writing was good, the acting could have been a bit more energetic, you went to do like a fake laugh at one point and it seemed really forced, and if the main character could do a forward roll, that would have made it better. Would you prefer that type of criticism?
Depends who says it.
Okay.
If someone I really respect says it, I'd be like, okay. Because if it's coming from a place of care, of a place of, I believe in you, and I want to tell you how to get better, then that's what
absolutely
you want.
That's what you're in it for. But we're not trying to do something. But you're not doing something kind of not improvised, but something naturalistic. And you were asking me like, what can I do there to make it funnier or more natural? What was that?
Oh, I had a little pause where basically Anne had
to go and
change, and I was playing this love interest who was a bit of a. Bit of a happy-go-lucky, you know, he's on a first date kind of guy.
Yeah.
Comic relief character, and I had a moment where she had to go off and get changed, and I was waiting for her to come back, and I was sort of waiting in her living room. And there was just a moment in the play where I had about 30 seconds of, I had no dialogue. I just had to fill it with something interesting. And yeah, you said that you should sort of look in the crowd like it's a mirror,
right?
And fix your mustache and your eyebrows and lick it. And I did that every show after you said that.
Was that one of my genius ideas? I didn't mean it to come off as a genius idea, but that's good though.
Genius idea. I did it, and it got laughs.
Need it though. It was very funny regardless, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was nice. Probably my favourite thing I saw at the Fringe this past year. Not that I saw everything I enjoyed is what I was trying to say. You know, but you're right though, because you go and see lots of different stuff, and it's all different levels. You're going to see stuff that's like really professionally done, and you're going to see stuff that's really not professionally done, and that's okay. You know what I mean? It's good to have both. That's what the Fringe is for. It's meant to experiment with things and young theatre companies and people that have been forever. So, I had a good time this year, but it does seem like a million years ago, the fact that we're talking about the Fringe now. We need to really do these more often.
I know. And being in Edinburgh in the winter, versus staying there for the whole of August, it's just completely different.
We had lunch one day later on in your run, actually, and we were with your friend Aidan, and we bumped into this American guy that you met on the bus or something. The bus broke down and he just befriended this American guy, and just Charles. By chance, what's his name?
Charles.
This is by chance. Charles came into the same place we were, and like we were talking about shows and recommended shows. He's like, "I'm going to check you out." That was the day that I was around the Fringe doing my first ever session of flyering, trying to promote the podcast and stuff. My word, what a horrible experience! Yeah. A horrible experience. And did you do any flyering for the show? I don't know how you've done it before in terms of the interactions that you have with someone when they actively don't want to receive what you're giving them.
I did a little short run of the Fringe, like not properly, like when I was like 16, a Perth Theatre production. I can't remember, but it wasn't the full thing. But we did flyer for that, rejection for that. I've also had jobs like temporary jobs where I'm flyering in London. That's my job for the day.
Yeah.
Can't take that rejection.
I wonder how it would be as rejection is right to your face as well. I wonder how it would be during a time where people aren't receiving thousands of flyers throughout the day anyway. Because it's actively like people are like, as another flyer. You know what I mean? Or like, are they actually going to go and
you
see
must the show? Have loads left, no?
I would quite a few left, yeah.
Yeah, you should go to the Glasgow and see if anyone will take it.
I wonder if we'll get a better uptake, because I did go quite late on the Fringe too. So yeah, people were probably through for like the third or fourth time, and they've seen everything. So it's weird, that kind of rejection straight to your face. It's kind of okay through email because you're used to it at this point, but actually to your face where people go, nope.
Is that what they did? Nope. Not for you.
Yeah, pretty much.
What is that, a podcast? And you're in it? No.
A couple of times it was like, I'll give you one of these if you take one of mine. I was like, yeah, sure, because I know for a fact I'm not going to go see their show, because this was like 3 days left of the Fringe or something. But also kind of don't want to be that guy that's like, in fact, I'm going to leave you with the flyer because you could maybe give it to someone who actually is going to see the show. So I just don't want to be, it's like a double-edged sword. I don't know, I felt quite hypocritical doing it, but I'll do it again.
I want to do it this year.
What, Flyer or The Fringe?
Not The Fringe. I really fucking loved it. So hopefully I'll do it again. I don't know how. I'll just have to see if I can be in something. But
did it remind you of like being in drama college where you're acting every day? Because you go from not acting at all to then you're doing it every day.
And similarly, you sort of get totally used to it, and suddenly that's just your reality, and you have to check yourself and be like, come on, man, this is amazing, because you can very easily just slip back into, like you were at drama school, just like, oh, well, she, my prop wasn't in the right place, or
yeah,
like just being like, it's early, isn't it, like, I don't know, just resist the moon and like actually check yourself and be like, This is fucking sick.
I get to do this every day, and I'm getting paid to be here, and there's an audience out there and stuff. Yeah, it's just a privilege. What a pleasure.
And I did, I honestly, I did. I really did soak it in and drink it in, and absolutely, I had a great time. Good. And I loved it. And I loved everyone involved. It really, I mean, it's the first time I've done theatre since like before the pandemic, 2019.
Yeah.
And it was really important just to get that love back. But just hadn't been in the right mind. So like, ever since the pandemic, it's kind of just slipped all the way down to just be like, well, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Theatre, like even when it rebooted, it's just so difficult to get hired. And part of you just goes, well, I don't like theatre then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is not true. It's just like you just sort of find coping mechanisms. I loved it. I love performing on stage. I did have this moment which I hadn't had in a long time. Obviously, like we had a 3 week rehearsal period, which was good, in the space doing it, and we had it, you know, on its feet, and we were, you know, doing it over and over, and it was fine, and we were working on stuff and finding stuff. But then when we did our first dress rehearsal on the stage, can't see anything in front of you, blacked out lights, a few people in the audience, you know, making notes for the dress.
You rumble, yeah.
And I got on and did the first bit I did, and I just felt, oh yeah, this is what it is.
Yeah, you missed it.
I missed it, and I forgot. It's awesome.
And
it
isn't
so good.
And isn't it like a muscle that you have to exercise at first? And I bet you, I don't know by how many shows you did, but by the end of it, you're like, oh my God, like I almost don't want to end this now because I've got this. You know, the first time I did theatre after the pandemic, I was like, how on earth do you remember these words?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's such a weird thing that you're so used to, and then now you don't do it for 2 years and you go, wow, how did you do that?
It just seems to happen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a great time. And I'm glad you came. Glad you came.
Absolutely.
It was great working in Scotland. Felt like a bit of a homecoming.
Yes. I
worked professionally in Scotland. And I had all my friends and family come see, and it was really, really one of these things that happens that you're just so happy with and grateful for.
That's great. Glad it went so well. And also through that, you know, the whole process of doing the show, you also filmed like small inserts that you added to, like, I don't know if it was a TikTok exclusive film, but that's where I watched it. But like there was, I don't know if you made, how many did you do? Two of them?
No, I made a whole... It's on YouTube.
Well, maybe I did watch on YouTube then.
No, I don't think you did because we had this chat.
Oh, did I?
No, I made a mini documentary thing about being an actor when I was there.
Right, well, everybody should definitely go and watch that because that sounds like a great idea.
It is. I really like it. I liked doing it and I like watching it. It's called The Camera Is My Therapist. Weird title.
Yeah.
Just came up with that, going with the instincts. And it's basically a little documentary/mockumentary because some of it's scripted, but some of it's not. Free form piece, about 10 minutes.
Yes.
Free form video. It's about 10 minutes on YouTube, and I made it. Some of it myself, and some of it worked with a director. Cinematographer friend I know who lives in Edinburgh, so he filmed stuff backstage at the show, and he filmed the show, and he filmed me like doing an interview, and we made this sort of thing, dogs barking, and it's on YouTube, and it's on, if you go on my Instagram, that's Aaron Doc, A-R-O-N-D-O-C, Aaron Doc.
Aaron Doc, how cool is Aaron Doc?
And you go, and I've got a link to it. It's just a link. And if you click on that, you can
open it up
YouTube, and you can watch it. And there's the theater there. And
I definitely watched this. We did not have this conversation. I did see it was like 10 minutes long. I did watch it.
Oh, did you? I thought you just thought it was on TikTok, or maybe it's something else. Because I did do little shorts, and I put them on TikTok. And
yeah. Well, that reason I kind of went to the link because I did see the TikToks. I think I texted you being like, I loved your film.
Yes, you did. Sorry, I'm thinking of something.
It's all right. No, it's. I mean, it's.
You want to be in one, and of course, you will be in one. I'm going to do more. I called it part one because I thought I wanted to do more. I just enjoyed doing it, just making a silly little... Is it a film? Is it? I don't know. I'm going to call it a film.
Yeah, but that's what you need to do. You have to create these things. You know what I mean?
I enjoyed it. And I'm making another one. I've got another one ready to put out. And it's just silly and funny and me and my friends doing little scenes. It's kind of a free-form thing because I'm not a great writer. I couldn't really write a short film. So I just kind of put little snippets of things that I thought of and edit them into this one thing. Sort of try and make a cohesive thing about, I guess, being an actor. Because that's what I'm doing. And so I may as well, if I'm filming stuff, I'm filming that. It's like a documentary. It's really hard to explain. Really hard to explain. Just watch it and you'll get it.
No, I totally get it. And obviously I've gone on about like having vlog footage for years and that sort of thing and how I think that's really important.
It's the same.
The fact you've got that footage of you backstage about to walk out onto the stage for the show, and the one I saw was like you're on stage, you do your bows and stuff, and then you walk back and it's the immediate reaction. That sort of stuff is priceless to have.
And then there's a bit, which I just love this bit, when our director, Patrick, comes up to me backstage and starts talking to me about casting directors and all the people who've seen it. And he's like a theater lovey, and just he didn't know we were filming really. didn't really understand it was a camera, and he just sort of came up and started talking about, yeah, this casting director, you've got to see this. And he's wonderful. And it's completely candid. He has no idea his camera rolling. I spoke to him after. But there's a really great scene.
That's great.
About the people who've seen the show. And give it a watch. See what you think.
Yes, I will link it wherever you can link things in podcasts. Would he come on the podcast, your casting director? Do you know him well enough to ask him to come on the podcast?
Patrick, the director?
Yeah.
Of course he would, yeah. I think he'd like that. I've struggled to get in touch with him. I'm not sure how he...
I'm not sure he understands how social media works.
He won't see this, but he messaged my mum through the theatre saying, please get Aaron to email me. And I'd sent him like three already. And I was like, I don't know what's happening.
Just know that I've not emailed him, yeah.
But I'll get him somehow. And then, he'd come on.
You know, I'm looking for all sorts of people. And it's not just actors I'm talking to now. Directors, writers, creatives in any way, fellow podcasters, musicians. We're kind of expanding. That's the new era, the new year of the good bit now.
Okay.
More...
Artists.
Performing arts. We're going away from just film. The handcuffs are off. The shades are on. Performing arts. I just didn't want to be quite... It's a bit wanky sometimes, isn't it? We're performing arts. But, you know, I kind of went to the whole creative industry and stuff, you know?
Artists?
Yeah.
Do you consider acting an art?
Absolutely, and that's a question I want to ask you with your shades on now.
Okay, ask me with the shades on, then ask me without.
Okay, so you've had a busy year, right? I just wanted if you could give us any form of insight, because there was a brand new Netflix show that came out called Bodies, and you showed me a scene that there was a character in there that looked awfully like you, and I just wanted to know what the process was like, if you can tell us on the podcast. I don't know if you've signed any NDAs, but like, what was the process like filming something for a Netflix show like Bodies with Stephen Graham, which I believe he's in that?
You want the answer with the glasses on, and then I'll give you the glasses off. It was great. Watch if you want. I'm fucking brilliant.
He's brilliant.
And then
Aaron's back.
Yeah, that I was in very briefly.
Very briefly.
Blink and you'll miss me. I don't know if I do look like myself. I've got a big ass beard.
I like the beard, you know. And you shaved it before we did the podcast. I like the beard.
No, I just had stubble. And that just looks messy.
Okay.
I'm in episode two, a little halfway through. I filmed that last summer. I'm in a small scene selling newspapers.
Another example of flyering.
I was flyering. I was selling them. They were lapping them up.
Yeah.
Because it was a big story in the news. It was extremely fun. Probably one of the most fun I've had on the set, because it was a load of extras and a load of sort of business going on, because it was kind of old London town alleyway, horse and carriage kind of times. There was just a lot going on, and there's a lot of extras selling, buying papers from me, and a lot of business, and we sort of choreographed it, and you really kind of felt immersed.
Yeah.
And I got to just sort of ramble on through the whole scene selling newspapers. It was totally, that's what you'd want as an actor. You just got to feel like,
you're in it.
I'm in it. I'm in a different, yeah. What's going on? It was great. Great fun.
Good. That's on Netflix now. Bodies, one season, and you're in episode two.
I'm on episode two. Newspaper vendor is my name. I actually auditioned. I taped for that, saying they had one line in the script, which was just like something like newspaper about this. That was one line. That's all I read for, and I read it in my accent.
Right.
And then I just got told, you booked it, you're filming now, we'll do costume and all that stuff. I was like, oh, amazing. Then I got on set, I'd gone through this line meticulously, like, this is my line, this is how I'm going to say it, this is how I'm going to do it. And I got on the set, and the director was just like, Mason, can you do, how about a Cockney accent? Can you do that? And I was just like, yes. Yes, and they're like, and also the line you have, fuck that line. Just talk throughout the scene. Just sell the newspapers. Just ramble. Just improvise.
I love that.
And I was just like, oh, yeah. So all that prep, all the ideas I had in my mind, just right out the window.
You didn't even in the rambling. You didn't actually say the line you were prepping within the rambles.
Nope. I must have slipped it in somewhere. But I can't remember. And so that whole thing is just complete, just stuff I had to come up with, and they kept most of it in. So I'm quite proud of that, having to think of my.
It's not a long scene. It's not a long scene, but like what you say, you're constantly talking throughout the whole time you're on screen, though, right? They don't even cut once.
No, I did a bit of because of course I was just making it up.
Hmm.
I had to go in and do a bit of ADR because there were some like plot things that needed to be said in the scene that
really okay
that we didn't think of when we were filming it, and so I had to come in and just sort of plop in a word or a thing to do with the newspaper story that was more important than the
whatever you were saying. Yeah,
well, I was going like, "Hello, sir. Hello, madam. How we doing? Nice to see you." I was just But yeah, no, that was very fun. And
you said it was terrifying.
Yeah. It's terrifying. Terrifying when you're the type of person who likes to be very prepped, and I imagine you're very similar.
Yeah.
And you know, you want to know what you're doing, and you know, get it right. But that just wasn't possible. I had to just kind of see what happened.
It's either a good thing or a bad thing for the actor. Let's just, we'll start with, we did exactly that with this podcast. Let's just start recording and we'll see what happens.
I mean, I think more and more, I just think that's the way, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can only do so much. And I don't know. I've got this superstition. I don't know if it's a superstition or an actual good idea with auditions.
Tell me.
Well, I used to, especially when I left drama school, and until not that long ago, I was very meticulously prepped going into an audition. I would, you know, learn the lines, obviously, go through the scene or scenes.
Yeah.
Know the casting director, have researched everything they've done, know the director, research everything they've done, understand like what their taste is, their tone. Go, fucking, you know, this is an opportunity. I need to go for it.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, I wouldn't book anything, you know, because obviously it's difficult. But also, I think I would be pretty, you know, tense and
a bit relaxed. Yeah.
But, I know they've cast this and I know all these things. I know too much.
Yeah.
And he sort of paralyzes you. So recently, I've been just focusing on getting my character. And if I don't know the name, or if I don't, I'm just not researching anything about anyone in the room. I'm just being like, I don't know anything you've done in the past. I don't know anything about you. I'm just going to go in, see what happens.
Yeah, but you can't know when it's a really short audition and you've just got one line, for example. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to, especially if the person's like, I don't know, not done anything else, it's a new director or whatever. You don't want to stress yourself out. You want to go in and focus and try and enjoy it slightly, you know?
Or just be a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more like,
yeah.
Because if suddenly you know, oh, well, they cast Fleabag.
Right.
Or something. Like, you suddenly get like, well, could I be in another Fleabag or something? Maybe I should sort of tailor my performance slightly a little bit towards that.
Yeah. Like you go, I'm reading for a part that I know the person's already cast, you know, a big name.
Yeah, you change it. You sort of...
Michael Sheen or something like that.
Try to have that in your mind and try and give it a flavour of that. Oh, you just overthink it. And you just end up being pish.
Well, I remember going into an audition once thinking that the big star they just cast was probably going to be in the room.
Oh.
So I got really nervous. I was at my boss's...
And you were like, okay.
I was hoping for an autograph. I was at my boss's 50th birthday a couple weeks ago, and my boss is first cousins with David Tennant, right? And it was her 50th birthday, and I was like, he's going to be there. And the whole time, every single time someone walked past the window, I got nervous. Because I thought, David, I couldn't relax the whole time. I didn't drink. I took my car. Like, I was like, I'm going to be on point. I'm going to, like, take my CV here.
CV to David Tennant. He'd be like,
What's this for? So yeah, no, it's going to happen at some point. We're going to get him on the podcast. Brilliant. Oh, yeah, but a good one.
Be great.
How are you feeling about going forward then in 2024? Because, I mean, you've had such a great, I don't know, professionally, you've had a really good 2023, and there's other stuff that we can talk about. But like, in terms of going forward in 2024, you got New Year's resolutions? Have you got stuff booked that you can or cannot mention? What are you thinking?
Yeah. Do you know what? Can you hold that thought? I'm just bursting for a pee.
Absolutely. I'll just wait here.
Are you not? You've been drinking water too.
I'll go if you go.
The same brand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm still though. I'm the sort of guy that I drink still water with no shades on.
Okay. I'm going to pee.
Okay, I'll pee too.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right. So New Year's resolutions. We're back in the room. We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, we're good. We're back. We've both peed. How would you rate your pee out of 10?
Nine.
Good one. Okay, good.
You're
probably around that. I didn't really need that much, so go 7.5. New Year's resolutions for 2024. How are you feeling about that? You're someone that makes resolutions.
Yeah, I am. The new year? I am. I'm excited. My New Year's resolution this year was to read a book a month.
Yeah.
Simple. I've achieved it.
Great. I was my New Year's resolution and I failed it, so I'm glad you did.
Was yours the exact same?
Yeah, a book a month, 12 books, yeah.
So how many books have you read?
If you add the one I read on holiday, three. No. I think I'm on like eight or something.
Oh, that was...
Started off so good though, because I started reading one after Christmas. It must have been like a Christmas present or something. And then finished it like on the 3rd of January. And I was like, we're off and running. And as you know, I went on about 18 holidays this year. So I was like, I'll read one every holiday. And then the most recent one where I literally sat around and did nothing for 10 days in the sun in November, didn't read a single page.
What did you do?
Sat there.
So
I did. And then every so often they'd go, I'm roasting, do you want to get in the pool? And I'd go, yeah, okay.
Do you want to read a book? No, I mean you.
Do you know what it was? I was away with a big group of people and there was always something happening. I felt as if I couldn't switch off and ignore people. Yeah. I never had my earphones in either.
What?
Yeah. I was just always talking to people and doing stuff.
Sweet personal time, really.
Well, I did, but I just didn't. I regret not reading the book because that's going to be, again, a repeat of our New Year's resolution for 2024. Book a month.
You're just going to do the same one?
Yeah.
That's smart.
It's book smart. You managed to do 12, though.
Yeah, some I listened to, some are audio.
That counts,
right?
Yeah.
One of my books might be half of two, because I started two audio books and ditched them. But there's a lot of them I read, and I was just like, fuck this, I can't. Continue, and I won't reveal what they are.
It's so serious. I just can't continue.
One of my things I learned about, you know, because I did some research on how do you get more into reading, because I was like, when I'm into it, and one of them is, if you're not enjoying a book, sack it off.
Yeah,
it can't be a chore.
Repeat what you said there.
If you're not enjoying a book, sack it off.
Okay, just wanted to be sure.
What do you think I said?
Nothing. No, I agree. I totally agree, because it took me months to get through a book. So you know what I mean? And I'm like, I just don't want to read it, you know?
Put it down.
Yeah.
What's your New Year's resolution this year?
Reading-wise or just in general?
Well, are you just going to do the same one? That's it.
Well, I'm going to do the same one. I did say a book a month, but I don't like how that puts pressure on you. You know, if you're on like the 28th of a month and I'm like, I'm nowhere near finished, like you feel like you're a failure.
Well, it's just 12 books, really, isn't it?
12 books, yeah, it's a good bit to look at it. One of the books, actually, I don't know if it was this year or 2022 I read it, but it was a book called Leave the World Behind, which has now been made into a Netflix film with Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke.
Have you watched it?
No, but I'm going to watch it and then I want to do an episode about it, if you're free.
I watched it 2 nights ago.
You should have said, then I would have watched it and then we could have done it today.
Oh, sorry. I'm watching rude. A lot.
That's good. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll watch it then and we'll do another one, because I do want to do an episode about it, because I want to compare to the book and stuff.
Great. Well, I haven't read the book, but yeah, I actually really liked it. So yeah, I'd talk
about
that.
Good. Okay, nice. You asked me about resolutions as well. It's the usual stuff. Save more money, be healthier, things like that. But the main one, as you know now, is buying a car. So I can drive now that I've been car sharing this year. So that's, on a personal level, getting a car would be a good one.
It's a goal.
Yeah, goal, I guess.
I did think of a good New Year's resolution and I've forgotten it. I need to actually think about it more and like write it down or something. It was like something about listening to people or something like
all right, yeah.
Practicing.
Learning more about people. Well, speaking of listening, one of the things that I want to really develop in 2024 is my music tastes and listen to more new stuff, because I'm sick of, it's about 3 or 4 years in a row now where like my Spotify Wrapped is just the same stuff. It's the same stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know
what I do? I don't know if I want to say this publicly because it's quite personal.
Well, I don't need to put it in if you don't want me to.
After I read a book, I make a playlist of, if I were to be the director of the movie of that book, what would my soundtrack be?
That's an absolutely great idea, and I know loads of folk to do that, so yeah, don't feel like that's not a weird thing, yeah.
I thought it was a weird thing. I that's a great way of finding new music, because I also, a rule I have is I can't use a song or a piece of music that I already know.
That is cool, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you find the songs then? Do you search the book on Spotify to see what other people have said about it?
Oh, I think I'll like think of some sort of vibe.
Mm.
And I'll maybe find a song that I know that is that vibe, and then I'll like
do similar songs,
do the playlist, like do the radios, and just sort of go on a rabbit hole and I sort of piece it all together, and actually found a lot of new music doing that this year.
That's a great idea.
Has to be fiction, of course. But,
yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, I may do that too.
You should do it. It's fun, really fun. I'm excited to like finish a book, because then I'm like, oh, I get
what songs we're going to find. Yeah, that's cool. And I was doing it a lot when I was doing those reaction videos on YouTube, you know. I would find loads of new artists and stuff. And there's plenty of them that I really liked and are now in my playlist, you know. Chris Stapleton and these kind of like some country. I did a lot of country reactions and stuff. Country music was always an idea that I liked. You know, it reminded me of like being on holiday in America and stuff. But then like, I really got into it and stuff. So it was like a good kind of thing. But
You like country music now?
Yeah.
Have you seen the new Hunger Games film?
No, I haven't seen all the Hunger Games films, because I know this is bad. This would be good for the podcast, actually. I watched them at a time where I was like just getting into film and stuff, and I was kind of like, these are the cool films that just came out, and I was like, oh, I don't want to watch those popular films. I want to watch these indie films, and I never gave them a proper chance, so I'm going to go back and watch them in 2024, but no, to answer your question.
You don't need to have...
It's a prequel, right?
I don't think I've seen all of them, but the prequel, yeah, it's a prequel. I watched that last night at the cinema.
Oh, yeah, cinema, that's good.
And there's a lot of country music in it, actually. I think you'd like it.
Nice. It's been a pleasure catching up with you on the podcast. Obviously, I saw you about 3 days ago, but and you bought a hat. Hopefully, we can do these more often in 2024. The goal, another goal, I guess, is this is going to be... I do it in seasons, right? Because I don't like to get it on top of me, but sometimes I like the consistency. So maybe we'll try and do it every week. And I'm just looking for more episodes. But again, it's not going to be as strict as we have to watch a film and stick to the same format. New era, new podcast. Let's go for it. And hopefully you can jump back on later in the year.
I certainly will. This podcast is forever in my heart.
Do you miss doing it?
Of course.
We used to have a good system, didn't we?
Sometimes I don't miss just spewing out my shitty opinions on the internet.
That's I know you mean, yeah.
I do that on Letterboxd now.
Yes.
If you want to follow, if anyone wants to do, actually, I want more friends on Letterboxd because I just have Chris and Leanne. That's the only two people I see.
Yeah. God, we've got to get Leanne back at the podcast. She used to love the podcast.
Bless you.
Yeah.
My thing is Aaron Doc on Letterboxd as well. Aarondoc. Find me on Letterboxd.
Same as your Instagram. Yeah.
Same as my Instagram. Find me on Letterboxd. I'm into that right now.
Great.
You don't write reviews. I want you to write reviews because I always click on it. I'm like, what did he say about it? And you don't.
Okay, I'll do it for you. And what if the rule is you have to write one line?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, describe your thoughts in, you know, one sentence or less.
I wrote loads for The Hunger Games. Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. I gave it 3 stars.
Okay, out of 5.
I said, I wanted to hate it, was forced to see it, wanted to see Napoleon, but family time means compromise. It was fine. Good music. Singing kind of worked. I suppose it is a ballad. If you want to see a musical this Christmas, don't see Wonka, see this.
That's a very Aaron Doc comment.
What?
Just that whole thing.
Whole thing.
It is a ballad, I suppose. All right, well, if you like the sound of Aaron's voice and you like the look of Aaron's face, you can see him in Bodies on Netflix season 1, episode 2, halfway through. And also The Witcher Blood Origins popped up in that as well.
Popping up.
Bit of momentum under your belt there. That's really good. We're going into the new year with a lot of momentum. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Oh!
And the saga continues of the no light. Here we go.
Yeah.
It literally makes no difference. It's on a timer and it just goes off every hour.
No, thank you. We're out here. We're out here hustling. We're going for it.
We are here.
Yeah, here hustling. We're going for it, brother.
We should do the next episode totally in an American accent. That'd be good.
I would absolutely love to do that.
And not mention it whatsoever.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
That's good. But we almost did the whole episode with sunglasses on. So.
I'd also love to do that. Just not mention it.
This is not mentioned whatsoever. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves, and we'll catch you all down the road.